Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell, presented by Finley Roofing.
Let's go, baby! Let's go!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Grant, whatever Monty Harris did at the end of last season has really carried over. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley on the line with us, and Grant, I say that because the four hits last night, you know, two home runs, it just feels like that whatever adjustments, and we know there were a couple of things with his hands and whatnot that they did last year, but it's really carried over, and right now he's on a tear.
Yeah, it definitely has. And, I mean, you look at what Michael Harris has done over the first third of this season, he is reaching heights at the plate that he has never reached before, and that it projects itself quite well to a Braves lineup that we've talked about this for multiple years. I've been on record as saying, coming into every year, it seems like Michael Harris could make that jump to whatever that next level is for him. But what is the next level? We need him to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. You need him to be consistent. And he's had both of those things on his side. And he's making better swing decisions this year than I think he has in recent years. Because especially last year, I feel like as he struggled more, the more he began to press. And then ultimately, he did decide to make some adjustments and needed to make those adjustments, by the way. And they started to turn the corner. So he's stuck with it. He's had to grind it out and kind of go through some of the valleys that will happen during a big league season, maybe for longer than you want it to. But this year, he is definitely reaping the rewards of the hard work. And he is elite when it comes to the hard hit rate. And he's also elite in the field. So you add all that up, I think you're looking at a National League All-Star playing center field for the Braves.
Right on. And, Grant, another one of those sort of like teed up home runs, like just inches off the deck. And takes it, you know, to center field. I mean, just, and you said it, he just looks so comfortable at the plate. Hey, real quick, I want to ask you about a guy who would be the polar opposite, Ha-Seong Kim. I know that he didn't have the benefit of spring training, but he does have the benefit of $20 million guaranteed. Two parts to the question. Did we outbid ourselves? What was the market for Ha-Seong Kim? Because he got waived by the Rays last year, then they picked him up, but he did well. And, where does this go? Because he's just been awful.
Yeah, well, it is kind of, I will say, as I do with most things, you know, given the amount of time we've seen it thus far, not the start he'd want to get off to. Nobody's arguing that whatsoever. It is still a small sample size for him. And the thing that I think you have to remember about the Rays waiving him had more to do with the fact that that is a very, very shoestring budget franchise. So they essentially looked at, hey, if we can just get anybody to take some salary relief, he's missed most of the year. This just didn't work out here. And the Braves looked at that as opportunity cost to try to sell a very useful player, a Gold Glove caliber shortstop, to maybe being interested in Atlanta. And I do think that the multi-year deals, and I talked to his agent, Scott Boras, at the winter meetings, they just didn't materialize there. So Atlanta's deal and the offer for a one-year contract did make a lot of sense. Then he goes out and injures his finger. That was not part of the plan. So that, I think, is really what's undone Ha-Seong Kim's time in Atlanta here thus far. I think there's a lot of baseball left to be played. I think he is going to end up playing an important role and making some contributions. But right now, it doesn't look particularly good. And you kind of compound things by getting more than I think anybody could have reasonably expected from the duo of Mauricio Dubon and Jorge Mateo. I mean, Mateo was just kind of an add-on piece. And with Mauricio, I remember the initial reaction from a lot of Braves fans was, oh no, we just got Mauricio Dubon. I guess we found our shortstop, and they just weren't impressed. And now you look at what Mauricio Dubon has done, and you got as many people, if not more, saying, how can you move to Mauricio Dubon? So it's kind of funny the way that thing works out, but it takes 26 guys over the course of the season. And I think that right now Ha-Seong Kim is going through it, but there will be a time where I think we look at it and see that he does have some value to this club. It's just right now it's hard to watch, and you know, he's definitely got some things with this swing that he's going to have to iron out.
Grant, who concerns you the most in regards to the Braves being able to maintain how well they're playing for the long haul of the season? I know we talk about, you know, these checkpoints, right, where, you know, again, there's certain guys playing well, and then you're going to see somebody else step up. But if you were to say, hey, in regards to the Braves being able to maintain this level of play, what concerns you the most in those regards?
I don't know if I have like a single player that concerns me with their play, because I think ultimately, you know, they are going to go through kind of those lulls and different. We saw Matt Olson cool off after an incredible first 6 weeks. Then he had a couple of weeks where it just wasn't going his way, and you kind of wondered, did he have an elbow thing going on? But apparently not, because last night he gets hit in the elbow, and then the next time he comes up, he hits a two-run homer, he feels fine, and he again shrugged off, you know, any concern about whether or not he was dealing with elbow pain. He said it's not an issue for him. So there's that. But kind of putting that aside, we still haven't seen the best from a couple of guys in particular. Austin Riley has had a better May, but a pretty dismal month of April for him. And obviously Ronald Acuna Jr. has not gotten off to that Ronald Acuna Jr. level start, and we really haven't seen the power there at all this season, which that's a little bit concerning. But I also have watched this guy long enough to know that there's typically a time where somewhere a switch gets flipped and things course correct for him. But as far as guys off to the hot start, Drake Baldwin, I think, was leading the way. Michael Harris was hot on his heels. On the pitching side of things, Bryce Elder has been incredible, and he's been consistent. So seeing the consistency makes me less concerned about regression or, you know, the wheels falling off, if that makes sense.
Right. Strider got the win last night. It was a strange game because you know, Red Sox kept coming back. He was able to, you know, mentally compartmentalize the two solo home runs, but the pitch count kind of snuck up. What do you think of his outing last night?
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag, I guess, and I assume Spencer Strider probably would think of it that way as well. He gives up, as he said, immediate back-to-back home runs. It's not how you want to start a game, and he managed to kind of sort it all out. And then he got into the fifth inning, and Walt Weiss wanted to have a shorter leash with him. He did, but that leadoff walk in the sixth, then you put Didier Fuentes in. And there are a few things with Fuentes, and you have to remember, as we all do, that he's 20 years old, and you know he's kind of learning on the fly how to be a reliever, because that's not really been his bag. And now you're in this place where, okay, well, that walk, you know, kind of opens the door. But a couple of more base runners, all of a sudden you're in a serious jam, and you've got to find somebody to get out of it. And that guy was Dylan Lee. But then the Red Sox, yeah, they were resilient. They pushed their way back in. Harris's home run ended up being the difference in that game, because even Raisel Iglesias proved that, hey, a couple of balls that are hit where somebody's not can put him on the ropes, and he was able to slam the door. So it just, it was a little bit of everything last night. But I think for Spencer Strider, he did enough to, I think, check some of the boxes. But we still, I don't think, with the exception of that Dodgers start, haven't seen the Spencer Strider that we expect to see more times than not.
It's Grant McCauley, guys, joining us. Braves, again, 37-18, still remaining with the best record in the league. This series continues tonight. A little wobble with Iglesias. You're not concerned. He's been so good, right? 28 and the third scoreless before last night?
Yeah, I mean, he was pushing a scoreless streak that, as you said, was approaching 30 innings and dating back to last year. And after the first couple of 3 months of let's just call it the first half of 2025, he really did. He ditched that slider and figured out how to get things working. His changeup has been terrific for him. He's still got mid-90s heat, and he's now reintroduced that slider when he needs to, and he's just looked so good. So you're going to give up some runs. I mean, they're not any pitchers that I'm aware of. They go through the course of a regular work usage in 162 games and make their appearances and don't give up runs. But the important thing was he was able to bend and not break. And that's the kind of the thing that, you know, a win is a win. Once it goes into that column, you're happy with it. You move on to the next day. And I think Raisel Iglesias has been everything the Braves could have asked for in bringing him back this year.
All right. As far as looking at Matt Olson, I just want to ask you, because I think, again, you know, we talk about how hot he was. He'll get back to being that, but right now, would you call this a slump for him, I guess, last 13 or 14 games?
Yeah, I mean, he's cooled off some, but, you know, he showed you last night that, you know, when you've got Matt Olson up there in a key spot, he still has the ability to do some damage, and his one swing was able to cancel out the two homers early against Strider and get the Braves offense rolling again. I think that everybody kind of needed a jolt, right, because the Braves had not homered, and I think it was, what, three or four games at that point. And that's a big part of their offense. Doesn't have to be the only part, but you'd like to see it, because you got a whole bunch of sluggers there. And it was a really, you know, quiet weekend against the Washington Nationals. Saturday and Sunday, they scored a combined total of, what, one run? So that swing by Olson was a pretty big one there. So I think he's capable of it. He is a guy that, you know, with that big swing that he has, once he gets it dialed in, he can get incredibly hot. But I think there are some times where just that little bit off can make a big difference in the consistency that he would like to have.
And Grant, we talked a few months ago about like J.R. Richie and Didier Fuentes. I mean, Fuentes getting more and more comfortable in that. Well, I know it was a little shaky last night, but as CJ said on the broadcast, kind of a big stage at Fenway with high pressure.
Yeah, Yeah, it is, and that's kind of what I was alluding to with the, you know, learning on the job to be a reliever. And, you know, as we talked about, I believe maybe a week or two ago when we were kind of sizing up some of the bullpen options for Walt Weiss, if you're only holding Fuentes back to use for 2 to 3 innings, okay, well, all right, you can't use him on a regular basis. If you've got Ronaldo Lopez out there to be held out for the 2 and 3 inning outings, well, you can't count on him either. All of a sudden, you're running a 6-man bullpen. And that kind of thing, especially in a stretch of 13 straight games that the Braves just played before the off day on Monday, can really put your bullpen into a tough place. So I think moving both of those guys towards the idea of, all right, we need to have some shorter burst, you know, appearances. And if you look at the arm talent, Didier Fuentes really has only one peer in that bullpen, and that's Robert Suarez, who has a 100-mile-an-hour fastball in his back pocket. Fuentes, it's incredibly good. And I think the secondaries are coming along, but you mentioned it. You know, you get into that big place or you know, storied park like Fenway against the Red Sox in a high-pressure situation. That's the first time he's facing stuff like that. So I think there is a learning curve that comes with it. But he's
football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Got the arm talent, and I think he's been able to show that he has the maturity to make the adjustments to continue to be a good weapon for the Braves out of the bullpen. Before yesterday, he came in with, 10 appearances and a 1.10 ERA in relief. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good run for a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, it is. Great stuff, Grant. Bryce tonight. We'll see what happens, and we will talk about it with you at the end of the week. And, of course, Grant will be on from the Diamond coming up this weekend. So we'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Cool. When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.